This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It's a big day today. We're exposing all the corruption of Gavin Newsom and his ties to China. President Trump buys a Tesla, and peace is on the horizon with Ukraine and Russia. What about President Trump and Congressman Tom Massey? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday out there. And it's a big day because today is the day that Susan Crabtree's book, Fool's Gold, is officially released. And let me welcome back to the show our friend, Susan Crabtree. Susan, congratulations on the release of your book.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, it's been 2 years in the works, and it just feels kind of surreal today, but getting a lot of good attention. So thanks so much for having me.
No, absolutely. And there's been a bunch of stories about this, too. You've had a number of places write up stories based on your book, and really the, I think, explosive revelation in the book about Gavin Newsom and his ties to the Chinese Communist Party. So let's start right there, shall we? Because, I mean, I think he's one of the biggest slime balls on the planet, and I'm really glad that you decided to go there. So tell us about it and how and what you discovered.
Yeah, so we were wondering why that in one of his vineyards in Napa Valley, there's a shipping container, which is the office of the vineyard, and has all this Chinese writing on it. And we're wondering why that choice would, why would he choose that for his off, for his vineyard's office? And he actually talks about it on the website as well. And we found out that he has been, when he was lieutenant governor, he started a nonprofit called China SF, meaning San Francisco, and he had 100 or more businesses come into China, into California from China, based on tax credits, and basically lured them in. And they were doing things like dumping solar panels and undercutting the U.S. market. And he said this is a great boon for California, but it was entirely unclear to us how any American citizens and California citizens benefited from it. It was incredibly interesting who he chose to partner with. It was this man named Vincent Lowe, who actually is a big business tycoon in China. And he ended up having, as this was going on, as we were looking into it, we found out that that Gavin Newsom trademarked several of his wines to get into China, and they ended up having a wine tasting at Vincent Lowe's building that he owned. So it's in China, in Shanghai. So, you know, we're wondering if this is all about just getting Newsom's wines into China and not really about benefiting California at all.
Just getting Gavin Newsom's wine into China. All right, first of all, is his wine any good? Have you tried it?
I've had a couple different tastes of it. Not when I haven't really gone out and chose to buy it. But I think it's a pretty good wine up there. And he has several vineyards in a very prime location. But it's interesting, too, that our investigation uncovered that he had actually vetoed a bill passed by the Democratic supermajority in the legislature that would have barred any foreign national from owning agricultural land in California. Interestingly enough, the Democrats were on board for that, and he rejected it using some excuse that it was redundant with what the USDA already does, the tracking. But we found that there are several vineyards right around his own vineyard that are owned by the Chinese as well.
All right. So his wine is okay. I'm sure he's not making it himself. I doubt he would ever allow that beautiful coif of his hair to get any grape juice in it. So we'll give the credit to the people that actually make the wine if it's pretty good. But now, how much money does he stand to make if they're selling his wine in China?
Millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge market for wine, and they love the Napa Valley wine. So
do they really?
In China, that's why they had that tasting with Vincent Lo. His building. It's very, a lot of Napa Valley vineyards are do business in China, but to have the lieutenant governor, then governor's wine, getting sort of a, so that the premier tasting locations with Vincent Lo, who has deep ties to the CCP in China, you're getting the seal of approval from a Chinese government official.
All right. Now, there's other things, too, here. He was also scorched for a number of other cozy relationships in your new book, Fool's Gold, Susan Crabtree. And before I get there, I want to kind of go back to something, which is his basic chameleon like nature, because obviously Charlie Kirk was on his podcast last week. And, you know, he's yucking it up with Charlie Kirk and trying to be all normal and everything. And he's like, look, I don't think biological boys should be playing women's sports. But then, as Representative Ro Khanna pointed out, he literally signed the bill that allowed transgender boys, boys to play against girls in women's sports. So he's a gigantic hypocrite on this. And then you go back further when he was mayor of San Francisco. So many of the problems that San Francisco is enduring right now, because I used to think it was a great city. And even when Gavin Newsom was mayor of San Francisco, it was still pretty good. And then it kind of just goes completely downhill. So his policies go way back before he was governor and begin to ruin California, do they not?
Absolutely. Everything that Gavin Newsom does is performative, not performance-based. Mm-hmm. He was given everything to him on a silver platter, whether it's his admissions to college, which Jerry Brown sent a letter on his behalf, whether it's his wine business that was fueled by Getty money, who was friends with his father, the Gettys, or his political rise, which began by Willie Brown's appointment to a local board. It's all been given to him on a silver platter. That's why he's not in it he doesn't understand earning things, and he thinks he can run for president via podcast. And it's also the reason why he takes money from PG&E, which is a utility that was responsible for the most deadly wildfire in California history. And then he pretends that he cares about wildfire victims.
And
when you're talking about the trans issue, that PG&E, that utility, which he's the closest with, they gave him and his wife $700,000. And then she went on to make gender justice films using things like the gender red person in the curriculum that accompanied it, that they then send to schools all over the country and charge a fee for screening them. And they earn $1.4 billion for doing so. This is her big project as the first partner. She likes to call herself the first partner as a nod to LGBTQ plus issues. And yeah, they're basically profiting from their exporting of their transgender beliefs to the rest of the country.
Now, so gender justice, first of all, what the hell does that mean?
they're basically saying that this is a minority community, that we needs to be protected. It's a vulnerable community, like he said in his Charlie Kirk podcast, as he was saying, well, you know, trans athletes, that's unfair. That's deeply unfair, direct quote. But yet we got to care about this community because they're very vulnerable citizens. And all her books, there's a book called The Mask You Live In. There's a lot of different, he actually stars in these documentaries that she has made. They also include a very sexual, explicit material in them, and what some people have called porn. If you take a look at these gender justice films, it's their goal is to normalize trans and basically trans athletes, trans people, and to actually say it's okay for your children to be gender transitioning in school, something that he, Gavin Newsom himself, has made it illegal for teachers and administrative personnel to tell the parents in California if their children as young as six are gender transitioning in school. This is his belief.
Yeah, that's insane, by the way. Susan Crabtree's with me. Her new book, Fool's Gold, is out. I'm just going to read you the headline from one of the articles about it, New York Post. Gavin Newsom bailed out utility responsible for California wildfires after collecting six figures in donations, new book claims. FoxNews.com, Gavin Newsom under fire for his alleged ties to the CCP. You're getting a lot of great coverage on this already, a lot of great publicity, Susan Crabtree, which is excellent. Yeah, and then he also signed a law in California which did not allow it would really threaten doctors where they could lose their medical license and other health professionals, right? If they went against the science.
The science of
any science that he, Gavin Newsom, or the state deemed to be the science, that medical professionals could lose their medical license. I mean, really just a way to threaten and intimidate and harass them into going along with his views on COVID, his views on gender, whatever else it is.
Yep. He created a sanctuary state in 2022 for transgender people that wanted to have any surgeries or what he calls transgender care, medical care. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, this is not the fact that he would went along with Charlie Kirk and said it was unfair, but he's not changing any of his policies. That's just a throwaway line. I actually asked his office, was he going to change anything? Can you please tell me more about what this means? Because he created an avalanche in his own party over this, and Ro Khanna is on Fox News saying he's deeply disappointed, and the Human Rights Campaign and local LGBTQ groups are saying they're deeply disappointed, and this is not the way for him to run for president in 2028. But yet he knows that he has to move to the middle. But it's all rhetoric. Like I said, it's all performative. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It is rhetoric and it is performative. I want to get your reaction to this. This is Michael Savage asking Gavin Newsom how he can ask for tens of billions of dollars to rebuild L.A. while spending $50 million to attack Trump. Again, this is, you know, this is a lot of the people, I think, on the right are making a mistake of going on this guy's podcast and, you know, cut 15.
You know, why I moved, theft in my mind.
You know why I moved from New York? Pollution. I left New York in the 60s to get away from the pollution. I would be dead if I had stayed.
By the way, in 1967, Ronald Reagan, then governor, agreed with you. He created the California Air Resources Board because of the smog in L.A.
Good for him.
He wanted to clean the air, Clean Air Act, 1970.
Did he do it?
And our waiver was caught. That's what Trump's attacking right now. There's that beautiful picture of Reagan in the Oval looking down at President Trump as he vandalizes Reagan and Nixon's
leadership. I'm not
going to
join you in attacking Trump on this podcast, even though you would like me to, but
speaking. No, we're getting along, Trump.
You and Trump. Well, here's the question.
We spent an hour out, but
how can you ask him for $300 billion to rebuild California and spend $50 million attacking him? How's that possible?
We didn't spend $50 million attacking. We hope we don't use a penny of it. We were involved in 122 lawsuits in the last Trump administration. I was only involved in 2 years of that. Governor Brown, who you know well, had on your show and over the years, was involved.
I think I did years ago.
Years ago. Yeah, I mean, I say that only to make the point that you're always someone that reaches out. And I've always appreciated that.
I had Nancy Pelosi on my radio show.
Proving the point.
Nobody would know it.
I know.
I had Charles Schumer on my radio show.
Let me just jump in here because this is a little bit painful to listen to for a number of reasons. But again, this is a classic example of Gavin Newsom just trying to act like he's everybody's BFF. I mean, he was actively trying to cancel conservative people, Susan Crabtree. He was actively trying to take away the ability of people to speak. Prominent conservative hosts and other people, he would wage war against these people.
Not to mention the school board presidents who dared to do something that wasn't part of his DEI curriculum that he imposed. A couple years ago, he and the state legislature spearheaded and passed a bill that requires in high school one semester of DEI literature. He has pushed this DEI business down to the school boards and this gender transitioning and keeping secrets from parents. And when the school boards have pushed back and said, no, we're passing our own policies, he goes on Twitter just last year and actually attacks them. Actually, it was in 2023, and directly attacks them and says, congratulations, you have my attention, school board president out in Temecula, California. And you will be getting fined $1.5 million and we'll open a civil rights investigation against you. That's the kind of totalitarian government that we're dealing with in California. You know, the school boards don't get to decide their own policies. I'm going to dictate from Sacramento what you get to do. And if you don't agree with me, I will open a civil rights investigation into you and I will fine your small school district $1 million. That's
the
who
book
he
is called. The book is called Fool's Gold. It's out today. The radicals, con artists, and traitors who killed the California dream and now threaten us all. Susan Crabtree is the author of Fool's Gold. She's my guest right now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. I think this is so incredibly important because I would say right now he's in the top three to become the Democrat nominee for governor in 2028. And if he keeps up this fraud act, he reminds me in a lot of ways of Bill Clinton. And his ability to kind of come across like a likable, want to have a beer with kind of guy. I mean, I don't think he's likable in any way, shape, or form. But I think to your point about being performative, I think there are people who are falling for this act, which is ultimately his goal. But what you just described here is exactly why he would be so dangerous as president. He's been a model for how to weaponize government and use it against people he doesn't like.
That's exactly right. And not to mention his whole issues with crime. So the reason why, you know, we have smash and grabs all over the state and in stores, every drugstore you go to, even in affluent areas, has to keep even like conditioner locked up, razors, conditioners, basic products locked away so because they won't be stolen. He and George Gascon got together in 2014 to write and promote the law that created these smash and grabs. That was the Prop 47 that lowered felony crimes, robberies to misdemeanors if they were below $950. Well, the state has since rejected that. Last year, we had Prop 36, and he tried, and the Democrats in the legislature tried to poison pill that bill. It reversed the Prop 47 to try to attack these smash and grabs, and it had big box stores like Target behind it. And no, Gavin Newsom tried to poison pill it, did everything he could to prevent it from getting on the ballot. Guess what? Resounding victory across the state. And San Francisco and Los Angeles now have kicked out their district attorneys, their soft on crime district attorneys. And they even kicked out in San Francisco, London Breed, the mayor, because of these very same issues. People are sick and tired of it. And here he just acts like he can run for president via podcast when his state is in shambles. You just had Exhibit A of the gross mismanagement over the wildfires, and yet he's investigating everybody in California and Los Angeles for those wildfires, except for the utilities, which he took $2.5 million for and bailed out PG&E when it was responsible for 85 counts of manslaughter. 85 deaths in Paradise. That, you know, the Los Angeles fires, they were extremely devastating, but those fires up north, they weren't in an affluent community, so people didn't care as much. But yeah, they killed 85 people, and then he bailed them out and allowed them to continue operating and continue, and they're making record profits, and they're hiking rates on consumers. Our utility rates are the highest in the country. We are our gas prices are the highest, our taxes are the highest, and that's why we have an exodus out of the state.
You know, and what's really interesting, and first of all, I want to read a quick quote endorsing your book. One of the, I think, most respected journalists out there, Miranda Devine, who said this is a forensic guide to the who, what, why, where, and when of the woke mind virus, which has bubbled up from California. The facts in fool's gold serve as a vaccine for the rest of us, administered expertly by Susan Crabtree and Jed McFadder. So congratulations on that. The question that I was asked yesterday when I was on Fox News talking about Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, and these text messages, which have mysteriously been, you know, vanished from her phone. She's a part of the problem as well. But what does Gavin Newsom do? I mean, this is a guy with a long history of turning on his friends and exacting political retribution against other politicians in order for him to rise up the ranks. So as he's sitting there with this, you know, Mr. Everyman yucking it up, you know, this performative con job, I mean, this is a guy who has gone after people even within his own party when he's had to. So, you know, the point I raised yesterday was, does he throw Karen Bass under the bus to try to get some of the light off of him with this recall effort? I wouldn't be surprised given his history.
No, absolutely not. He and Kamala Harris have had a what I call a frenemy relationship over the years. They basically just agree to which office are you going to aspire to, and I'll get out of the way for you. But yet he gets in some jabs now and then. You know, during the convention, he was joking with a Pod Save America podcast, the Obama bros that run that show, that, hey, yeah, I was told to say this was a big, you know, Democratic process, small D Democratic process to select Kamala Harris. He was snickering about that. And the other day on Charlie Kirk's podcast, he also jabbed her again when he said, you know, oh, that was a terrible ad, that it was a terribly effective ad against Kamala that Donald Trump ran about how she is for trans surgeries for prisoners and illegal immigrants. So, you know, he loves the fact that he likes to basically chide her now and again, even though he doesn't do it completely overtly. You got to read between the lines. But I don't think he's happy that she's signaling she's going to run for governor to succeed him. He would have liked his AG, Bonta, to run for that job. But guess what?
Yeah.
Bonta's from Oakland and his wife is embroiled in an FBI investigation. It's the corruption is all over, and you don't get the same kind of mainstream media publicity for it in California.
Can I ask you, I mean, in terms of thinking about California, it's not just Newsom, although he's been up there, but you've got other faces on the book, including Adam Schiff and the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. It's a lot of these Democrat politicians who've worked to destroy this state. The amount of power that's in California, the political power. I mean, Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House for all those years, you know, the Speaker Emeritus, and Adam Schiff, certainly. I mean, the number of these individuals. And what really concerns me is that there are a lot of Republicans in the state of California. I mean, there are millions of them. It's such a big state. Yourself, I mean, you're one of them, right? But doesn't California have a very weird system in terms of how their candidates are chosen, which almost always guarantees that a Democrat's going to win?
Well, it's a jungle primary, so it actually is a top two, getting the top two vote getters move on to the primary, to the general election from the primary. So, yeah, it was interesting because you had Steve Harvey running for Senate, and he actually made it past Katie Porter, which was kind of embarrassing to Katie Porter because she thought it was rightfully her basically she was owed the process of moving forward with Adam Schiff, but he knocked her out of the running. But at that point, you have 2-to-1 ratio from Democrats to Republicans in the state, but a growing independent voter group. And it's really is shifting to the right. You had in 2016, you had 4 million voters vote for Donald Trump. And this time around, you had 6 million. So an increase of 2 million in that short time span. But you had 9 million voting for Kamala Harris. So you've got to have somebody who is sort of a popular figure like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've heard rumblings that Mel Gibson might run for governor from the Republican side. He was out at a press conference recently to recall Gavin Newsom. So there are some rumblings. Rick Grenell, Sheriff Bianco in Riverside, very popular sheriff. So but I just feel like there has to be somebody that's larger than life, like a Schwarzenegger, to really wrest control of the governor's mansion up in Sacramento.
When the last thing I'll ask you, because I know you got to run, you got a lot of publicity today for your new book, Fool's Gold. It's an honor to have you on the show, and I congratulate you on all your incredible investigative reporting you've done at Real Clear Politics and in this book as well. When the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, who also wants to run for president in 2028, when he said he wants to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast, there are certain policies that come to my mind immediately, one of them being energy, in terms of the energy that the edicts that come down from Sacramento or from, you know, Trenton, New Jersey. And a lot of other Democrats do this, too. But California, which has some of the highest energy prices in the country, also has some of the most totalitarian rules on oil and natural gas. Does it not?
Absolutely. And now you have the Gavin Newsom and the attorney general that are waging a war on the oil and gas industry. So you have to have a special combination to even be of gas to a special gas to even sell it in California. So that takes extra money. But now you have Bonta and Newsom waging this war. They've filed legal. They're patterning their lawsuits after the tobacco lawsuits back in the 90s. So they're really just trying to make money, in my estimation, and an easy money to go after them. But it's already, you know, Chevron leaving California, Chevron headquarters leaving, and now you have a different refinery leaving in the wake of those lawsuits. So it's just getting more and more expensive because we have to import the gas and have transportation costs associated, not to mention the more than $1.50 per gallon that we have based on taxes. We have some of the highest gas taxes in the country.
But it's not just, I mean, you say waging war on them. I think the point really underscores something you and I have talked about, which is it's also they're going after speech, freedom of speech, by arguing that the gas and oil companies have been covering up climate change and lying to the public the same way tobacco companies have. I mean, that's a free speech issue. But this guy, and I said it was the last question, but I'll really end on this question. He hates free speech. It's ironic now that he's got this podcast and he's inviting all these people that disagree with him supposedly on, which is only for his own self-benefit. But he hates freedom of speech, and he's weaponized it again, and he's gone after people. He's gone after the media. He's gone after a lot of people. Many of these Democrat politicians in California have.
Absolutely. He and I have had several encounters over the years, and he always is, you know, extremely dismissive of me. And he is actually now trying to go on to our Twitter. I don't think that on X.com, I don't think that he can keep up now with so much the deluge that is against him right now on X.com, but with my book and others. But he goes on and he has his office. This is how petty he is. Will actually go tweet to tweet, post to post, and try to respond to what you're saying. And usually it's not even factual. Mm-hmm. So, but that's how much energy he's spending to try to control the messaging that he's tried to create this sort of up from his bootstraps sort of he has created basically he's a he created this Plumpjack Winery by himself, but it was all fueled by Getty money and all of his political connections and Willie Brown and all of these kingmakers in California that were helping him from a very, very early age.
Globalists, kingmakers, and a total con artist. Well, listen, this is a must-read book. We got to really—I mean, I encourage everyone to buy it, read it. This man is could very well be the Democrat nominee for president in 2028. And there's a lot of lessons to learn here from all these Democrats who've destroyed what is, I think, the most beautiful state in the country. I really do. And the book is Fool's Gold: The Radicals, Con Artists, and Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. Buy it today, Susan Crabtree. Congratulations. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich. Great to be with you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so we got a lot to get to. We have queued up for you the Q&A with President Trump and Elon Musk on the South Lawn of the White House with President Trump's Tesla. We're going to get into that with you. Will there be a vote on the budget? We're going to talk about that as well. We have Congressman Scott Perry joining us a little bit later in the show today, hopefully. Obviously, that could change if there's a vote on the floor and he has to be there, but we're hopeful that he's going to join us. But there's a lot going on. I'm really happy that you're here with us today, and I want to thank Dr. Mike Veneria for giving my family such incredible dental care all these years. The great thing about Dr. Mike is that the level of care and his commitment to dental expertise is so real. You see it every time a patient goes to that office, and they're so happy they keep coming back. And they ask him all the time. They say, is Rich really come to you? He really is dentist? And he goes, yeah, it's true, because it is. I always tell you the truth. My whole family goes to Dr. Mike Veneria. His specialty, complicated dental implants. And if you've been thinking about getting a dental implant, you'll get a free implant consultation with my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. For over 10 years, dentists have been sending their patients to Dr. Mike for complicated dental work. And that's why he's been recognized as a master of dental implants for over 10 years, a top dentist for over 10 years. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, an incredibly friendly staff, great people who are dedicated to your dental care and giving you that smile that you deserve. What are you waiting for? Reach out to Dr. Mike today, 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. There's so much to smile about right now, and you want to have that beautiful smile before we have all of the times to make family memories on summer vacation, right? Go see Dr. Mike. Get that free implant consultation today and be on the road to getting that beautiful smile that you deserve. VeneriaDental.com, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, man. I got a feeling today's going to be one of those days. I don't know why. It's just that we're 20 minutes till the bottom of the hour, and I just call it a gut feeling. I don't know. They said the House is going to vote soon on the spending bill, and the president just spoke from the South Lawn of the White House along with Elon Musk regarding a number of different issues. The big story today is that a peace deal has been announced with Ukraine and Russia, which is really, really good. And we're waiting on Russia to accept it. That came up today as well. The president saying that those people that are attacking Tesla dealerships, and this is insane that they are attacking Tesla dealerships, will be branded domestic terrorists. These people are trying to set fire to Tesla dealerships. And Tesla's, well, the electric batteries, I mean, yeah, you can set them on fire. This has been one of the issues we've talked about for years. So today he bought a Tesla to show support for the company. And the wackos on the left, I guess, have completely forgotten about the people that work there. They're not Elon Musk. They don't make Elon Musk money. They're people that work. Whether you're selling a Tesla, whether you're building a Tesla or servicing a Tesla, yet they don't care about the employees. They don't care about the working class people in this country. They don't care about the workers in the factories who build these things. They could care less. You know what I mean? So they're lunatics. Anyway, I want to play that for you, though. Here's the president, Elon Musk, a short time ago, the South Lawn of the White House. Take a watch. Take a listen.
And they're going to have a good time using it. And if I can. Oh, there you are, Margo. Look at Margo's right there. What are you, a member of the press now? I think she's become a member of the press.
Margo Martin.
Pictures.
Love her.
What do you think of it, Margo? Do you like the idea?
I love it.
Okay, good.
We're going to have fun.
They're very happy.
Mr. President, your comments the other day not ruling out a potential recession seemed to rattle the stock markets. The Commerce Secretary said there wouldn't
be one. Boom. Just so you know.
Just specifically on the recession.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be a recession?
I don't see it at all. I think this country is going to boom. whom. But as I said, I can do it the easy way or the hard way. The hard way to do it is exactly what I'm doing, but the results are going to be 20 times greater.
Mr. President, you asked...
And remember, Trump is always right.
And what do you say to Americans?
If you look at what I've said over the last 10 years, Trump has been right all the time. This is the way to do it. We're going to make America great again. You know, to make it great, you have to have jobs, you have to have factories, you have to have... I look at some of the things that, like this last administration, he was the worst president in the history of our country. Nothing was happening. Nothing. He had no idea what was going on. Our country went to hell. And then to allow millions of people to come in that are prisoners and mental institution patients and all of the things, gang members, drug lords, we're searching them all down now, trying to get them out of our country. And we're going to do that. But on the financial end and the economic end, what we're doing is, to me, it's the most exciting. Our country will be greater than ever before, and it won't take too long.
And what's your message to Americans right now, sir, who are worried about the stock market? What's your message to them as they watch it?
Let's go see the Cybertruck. I did buy one of these.
This is bulletproof. This is bulletproof.
I mean, look, in terms of imagination, I think I have a great imagination. Who else but this guy would design this, and everybody on the road is looking at it. It's amazing, actually. As soon as I saw it, I said, that is the coolest design. Do you agree with that, Brian?
I mean, I do.
It's amazing.
It's very cool. Yeah.
You got to give him credit.
We want the future to look like the future, and it's kind of, what kind of truck would Blade Runner drive? That was the design idea.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Elon, are you planning to remain CEO of Tesla while working with President Trump? Is there any thinking on your future at the company? As we're talking about Tesla, I'm wondering what your thinking is with leading the company going forward.
Yeah, I'm CEO of Tesla, and...
We should.
Yeah.
Any more plans of additional vehicles besides the ones you have now?
Well, new models? The Cybercab coming out next year.
The one with no steering wheel. Are you going to buy one of those?
No, sir.
We'll pass. Yeah. We're too old for that.
Yeah.
So, Mr. President, when you look at the market selling off, that didn't concern you, and where do you see it
going? Doesn't concern me. I think some people are going to make great deals by buying stocks and bonds and all the things they're buying. I think we're going to have an economy that's a real economy, not a fake economy. It was a fake economy. They were putting in all government jobs. You see what happened last week, last month? We had more real jobs, and government jobs are way down. That's going to continue. Those are real jobs. Those are jobs that keep the country going. You can't have all government jobs. You have no income to pay the workers.
Yeah.
And a lot of those workers didn't show up to work. That was the other problem.
And President Trump, there's this protest leader from Columbia University that the administration is moving to deport. And he said that his arrest is going to be the first of many. How many?
I think we ought to get them all out of the country. They're troublemakers. They're agitators. They don't love our country. We ought to get them the hell out. I think that guy, we ought to get him. I heard his statements, too. They were plenty bad. And I think we ought to get him the hell out of the country. I watched him. I watched tapes specifically. I watched tapes. And you can have them. Okay? You can have them. And you can have the rest of them. Let them go to school. Let them learn. Columbia used to be a good school. Now it's been overrun because of bad leadership. That's what happens. Happens to countries, and it happens to universities, and it happens to companies. And I don't want it to happen to a guy that did nothing wrong. He did everything right because he did a great company. But what he did by coming into government to help government from years of abuse, from decades of abuse, and you see that when you look at Social Security, where you have 200-year-old people on the rolls of society, that's just, he uses the word care. People don't care. Everyone knows that. But it's also, I believe it's also large fraud. I think it's that. But I think it's also large fraud. I'm just telling people, this man is a great patriot, and you should cherish him. You should cherish him. You know, I have a little statement. We have to take care of our high IQ people because we don't have too many of them.
Mr. President,
and we got to take care of them.
You guys are looking for fraud and waste and abuse. Can you guarantee people who are concerned about an interruption to benefits that there will not be?
Yes, we're going to be very careful with any interruption to benefits. In fact,
Only by tackling the waste and fraud in entitlements like Social Security, Medicare, can we actually preserve those programs for the future. Because with unchecked fraud and waste, we won't be able to afford them. The president's very dedicated to solving the budget deficit, which if we don't solve the budget deficit, we're going to go bankrupt as a country. If we go bankrupt as a country, there's no Social Security, there's no Medicare, there's no nothing. And to echo what the president was saying, what really matters is moving people from jobs that are relatively low productivity in government to high productivity in the private sector, increasing the true output of products and services. That's the real economy. That's what actually enables Americans to have a higher standard of living. And that's what's happening. And that's, I think, you'll see the truth of that in the months to come.
And we're going to make it really much stronger by taking people that don't exist or taking people that shouldn't be there out, by taking illegal aliens that are on Social Security or Medicaid and Medicare, by taking them out, we're making it much stronger. The country will be much stronger, but it's going to really be stronger economically. And when you look at what we're doing, I've been called by so many companies. Yesterday, as you know, I had a meeting with some of the biggest tech companies in the world. And all they're talking about, IBM was there. We had a lot of them. Michael Dell was there. We had a lot of great companies, Hewlett Packard. And all they're talking about is investing in this country. They want to be sure. Don't forget, they're looking down the road 10 years and 15 years. They want to make sure we have a strong country. They're all coming in. As you know, Apple, Tim Cook, he said that he's going to invest $500 billion in the United States. He never did that before. He invested in China. He's got his plants in China. And now he's got them, going to be building in the United States. And if I didn't have a victory in that election, he wouldn't be doing it. And if I didn't say what I'm saying, and I'm being very honest, and it's much more difficult than just sitting around and having a great time. It's a very glamorous position if you want to do that. We could have kept it, but eventually bad things would have happened. This way, good things. I'm very optimistic about the country. I think we're going to have the greatest markets we've ever had. And it's going to be really fueled by what we're doing. You had to see these companies yesterday. They're investing billions and trillions. They're investing trillions of dollars here. They wouldn't have invested 10 cents.
Mr. President, talk to Vladimir Putin about this ceasefire deal? Do you think you need to have a conversation with him to get the Russians
to
agree?
I'll talk to Vladimir Putin, yeah.
When will
I want to get, look, that's the other, it takes two to tango, as they say, right? So hopefully he'll also agree. And I really think that would be 75% of the way. The rest is getting it documented and, you know, negotiating land positions, etc.
So you'll talk to him this week about the deal?
So
when do you anticipate meeting him in person?
In place on the Ukrainian side, how close do you think then you are to a total ceasefire
I hope it'll be over the next few days. I'd like to see. I know we have a big meeting with Russia tomorrow, and some great conversations hopefully will ensue. The people have done a great job. Marco Rubio's been great. Steve Witkoff's been great. Michael Waltz.
The president speaking on the South Lawn, answering questions.
They've really stepped up. They are into it. They want to see two things. By far, number one is death. The people that aren't citizens of our country, but they're people, just like you. They're people, and we want to stop. And we also don't want to give billions and hundreds of billions of dollars away. We're in there for $350 billion. And there was no reason. This war would have never happened if I was president. So it's a very sad thing. Thank you all very much. I love Tesla.
Which one did you buy?
Yeah. Okay, Mr. President, which car are you going to buy?
The one I like is that one.
And how does this work?
And I want that same color.
Are you going to put down a credit card? Elon, would you take a personal check from the president?
I do it the old-fashioned. I give checks.
Sure.
I like checks.
I think his credit's good.
Do you still have access?
You know, I like a check better than this modern system of all of a sudden there's money in your account. Yeah. Nobody knows. I like signing a check. We're going to pay. And I don't want a discount. He would give me a discount. But if I do a discount, they're going to say, "Oh, you got benefits." I don't want any discount.
What about a vanity plate?
Let's see. Truth.
All right, there it is.
TRUTH.
Download his playlist.
That one got you by surprise.
Playlist gets downloaded as well. You can thump your music, drive it
around. You can do it. I looked at that dashboard. You can do anything.
Mr. President, do you think you buying a Tesla will boost Tesla sales and boost their stock?
Look.
So would me endorsing that.
I care about one thing. When somebody's a great patriot, they shouldn't be hurt. He's a great patriot. He didn't know me from Adam until we met a little bit when I was in my first term, but he came out, he endorsed me very strongly. And I admired that and respected that. And I respected him for years. I respected him. And when there was a chance to help our government, you know, you're not going to use an average person. Some people would say, well, let's use somebody that failed in business for his whole life. You know, this guy has been amazing. And the kind of thinking is from a different age. It's really from a different age. When we said, let's cut 2%, he said, let's cut 60%. And he turned out to be right. And a lot of people are just not here. They don't work for us. I mean, they're getting checks and they don't work. And you know, Peter, we have so many different stats and so many different figures. And it's so embarrassing to us as a country. No, we're going to have a streamlined country with good people. And one of the reasons, and I called for it wasn't a cabinet meeting, it was just a meeting of some cabinet members in Elon. The one thing, and I think he agrees with me 100%, it's one thing to cut, but we want to cut the wrong people, meaning we want to cut people that aren't doing the job. We want to keep the right people.
Absolutely.
And I said, I don't want to just say we're going to cut 50%. I want to cut the people that aren't doing the job, the people that aren't there, the people that are scamming the system. And he agrees with that 100%.
And are you sure you don't want to take a test drive?
I'd love to do it. Maybe I'll do it some other time.
Do you want Elon to keep working with you throughout your first term? I mean, is there going to be an end date for the two of you working together?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I think he'll know when it's time.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't want to stay around.
He's just 130.
Although I think he does like it. There's no place like the White House.
Elon, would you want to stay?
I don't think that. I think he wants to get the job done, get back to his businesses. That's what I think.
I'll stay as long as it's useful and not productive. And if I can help the country, I'll stay and do so.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, President Trump.
Good looking guy.
Here.
Elon. Thank you, everybody.
All right, just listening in there.
That is the president wrapping up. Spending time talking to the press today with Elon Musk at the South Lawn of the White House. By the way, Philadelphia Eagles accepting the invitation by the president to come to the White House. They will be there on April 28th, which is a Monday, April 28th. So that news just came out a short time ago as well. Philadelphia Eagles will be going to the White House to celebrate their Super Bowl victory. And accepting the invitation of the president of the United States of America, which is great. I mean, it's a great sign that things have changed, that so much has changed in terms of because years ago they said no, you know, but that's not going to fly now. And I think it's really important to note a couple things about that. It really is not something just to gloss over. President Trump was very, very controversial in his first term. He's going to be controversial the second term because this is the nature of politics. Politics is controversial. But what you really should take away from this, in my opinion, is the fact that it's not okay anymore for teams to boycott going to the White House to see the president of the United States of America. The blowback the Philadelphia Eagles would get, the organization would get by their fans, by the people that buy the tickets and go see the games and cheer on the Eagles. Because I guarantee you that if you look at that stadium, even though what amazes me is how a lot of sports talk is lefty and a lot of callers to sports shows are lefty, and I really don't quite get that. But I bet you, and again, I'm just being purely anecdotal about this. I don't know the statistics, and I don't really care about the numbers because I don't know how honest those numbers are anyway. But I bet you 90% of true Eagles fans voted for Trump. 90%. I bet you 90% probably voted for Donald Trump. And there was a time when a lot of us were not watching football anymore because football had become so annoying with all the kneeling and the messages and the nonsense, and a lot of that's going away now. I mean, you don't see the kneeling anymore. I thought this Super Bowl was incredibly patriotic. But if the Eagles had said no, the backlash from their fans would have been insane. It would have been ridiculous. And that's why they're realizing now they have to go. And whether or not you agree with the president of the United States of America or not, you go. You get invited, you go. I would have said the exact same thing about if it was a Democrat in the White House. You go. It's the president. We only have one at a time. And so if you get an invitation, you send the message and you go to the White House. Because, yeah, you know what? My son, who's a huge Eagles fan, I don't want him asking me, Dad, why do the Eagles not want to go to the White House? I'm happy they're going. I think it's a great decision, a great move. It really makes me very, very happy. So that's excellent stuff. Really great. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, the Philadelphia Eagles, accepting the president's invitation. They're going to the White House on April 28th. We're coming right back with 30 minutes of nonstop talk. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.